Going there anyway.
You're going there anyway. Go for it and have some fun. Melissa, great show today. Thanks a lot. You have a good day.
It's a lot of fun. Thanks, James.
Have a good day, everyone. Stick around for Money Magazine right here on, oh, you know, Beth, you say it a lot better.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. Apparently, Tuesday is the new Wednesday. Roads are already jam-packed and the airports are crowded as Americans head out in droves for their Thanksgiving destinations. CBS's Chris Van Cleve is at Chicago's O'Hare.
It's the most important holiday of the year for us.
Omar Idris oversees United's Chicago hub at one of the country's busiest airports.
We plan and plan and plan throughout the year. And we find ourselves in a very healthy position to deliver the staffing needed to fly the schedule we're promising.
Now, while today and tomorrow will be crazy, travel experts say the Sunday after Thanksgiving will likely be the busiest. He tackled the Colorado Springs nightclub shooter and disarmed him. Rich Fierro is being hailed a hero.
I saw him and I went and got him. And when I pulled him down, I told him I was hitting him. I want to kill you, guy.
The gunman's charged with murder and hate crimes. 53-year-old Bradley Raines being charged with reckless homicide after crashing his SUV through the front window of an Apple store near Boston. One person was killed. A rail strike could happen in 2 weeks after the largest railroad workers union rejected a labor deal. Correspondent Ed O'Keefe with reaction from the White House.
They are monitoring this quite closely here at the White House, saying a shutdown is unacceptable, and they're encouraging all sides to continue talking ahead of a December 5th deadline. Now, Congress could step in to stop a rail strike and likely would do so. They've done so, in fact, 18 other times in the past. There are no plans as of now for any administration officials here at the White House or over at the Labor Department to get involved. We're just under 2 weeks to go. We'll see if that holds.
A powerful earthquake struck Java, Indonesia yesterday, killing over 260 people. Rescuers have been working around the clock to find anyone trapped under the debris. About 150 people are still unaccounted for. CBS's Vicki Barker with what could be a huge cancer breakthrough.
The five-year program's aimed at developing new strategies to fight cancer. It's based on the understanding that cancer cells actually live in complex ecosystems that co-opt non-cancerous cells to grow and spread, targeting those cells could stop the cancer in its tracks, even kill it entirely.
Brown University freshman Olivia Pichardo is making history. She's the first woman to make a Division I NCAA baseball team.
Starting eighth grade or freshman year of high school, we thought, well, maybe I could actually play at the collegiate level.
And her dream did come true. The 18-year-old will be a walk-on utility player for Brown. We are seeing green on Wall Street right now. The Dow is up 259 points. The Nasdaq down 8. This is CBS News.
This hour's newscast is presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can.
Do you know what people see when they Google you? Search engines don't always get it right. And when they're wrong, it's your reputation on the line. So what do you do when you don't agree with your search results? Call Reputation Defender at 800-401-6681. Reputation Defender by Norton is one of the most trusted names in online reputation repair. We have over a decade of experience in fixing people's search results, and we can help you too. Using cutting-edge approaches, Reputation Defender pushes unflattering information down to lower pages of your search results, where few people ever look. We also promote the good stuff so that it rises to the top, letting you put your best foot forward. Your good name is too valuable to leave to the whims of a Google algorithm. You owe it to yourself to take control with Reputation Defender. Visit www.reputationdefender.com or call 800-401-6681 for free advice on your situation. 800-401-6681. That's 800-401-6681.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR.
Partly cloudy skies this afternoon with highs around 39. Southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight, lows around 18. Mainly sunny skies tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 44. High temperatures reach up to 44 Thursday under overcast skies. 40 Friday.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 24.
Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this November 22nd, 2022. It is 10:05 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 10:30, we're going to welcome in Sue Sipple, Executive Director of the Family Center. Looking forward to talking with Sue. Right now, we have in studio with us Taylor Schaefer. She is the 75th Allison Dairyland. Good morning, Taylor.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here.
Of course.
Great to see you. Great to have you in studio. We have had a great relationship with Allison Dairyland for many, many years, going back to Carl doing this show and everything, and it's so much fun to have you in, to meet you. First up, congratulations
Thank
on
you.
This. Big congratulations to you. We have a lot to talk about today, especially with something special in Wisconsin. I have to be honest with you, it's very hard for me to do my job with there's maple syrup right in front of me. All I want to talk about is maple syrup, Taylor, but I gotta focus. I gotta do my job. I do want to get to know you a little bit and let the audience get to know you a little. First up, how are you? How are things going? How have you been enjoying this process?
It's been a lot of fun. And truly, when I say that I have enjoyed everything that I've done so far, I really mean that. I have loved every single moment, soaking up everything that I have done. You know, I've attended quite a few different events, interacting with audiences who are involved in agriculture and those who aren't as well. So it's been a really great opportunity for me to learn more about Wisconsin agriculture and to share agriculture stories with people across Wisconsin.
How long have you been Allison Dairyland? It hasn't been that long so far.
It's almost 6 months already.
It has been.
I started July 5th. I know. And I had someone say that to me the other day. They're like, oh, you're almost approaching the 6 month mark. And it's kind of hard for me to think about it that way because I feel like I just started yesterday.
I can imagine. Oh, what is your background? Well, what made you want to be Allison Dairyland?
I grew up on a farm in Franksville, Wisconsin, which is in Racine County. And I was really involved in the beef industry from a young age. I had an opportunity to travel around Wisconsin, travel around the country for livestock shows. And that's ultimately why I decided to pursue agriculture professionally. I graduated from the University of Wisconsin-Madison in the spring of 2022 with degrees in animal sciences and life sciences communication. And while I was on campus, I was involved in quite a few different student organizations, one being the Association of Women in Agriculture. So if you've met a few prior Alices, a lot of them have been involved in AWA. And one thing that Alice does really in the spring months is travel around to different student orgs and give a presentation about the Allison Dairyland program. So that's talking about the Alice program history, more about the current Alice, her background, and also more about what she's been up to that current year. So the first time I had an opportunity to interact with an Alice was my freshman year of college, and I think back to Abigail Martin, Caitlin Riley, and then this year I interacted with Julia as well, and just having conversations with them, learning more about the Alice program is why I decided to apply. So did apply the first year I was eligible. I went through the 6 month long application process when I was still in college, and I was selected about 7 days after I graduated.
Impressive. I'm sorry, Taylor, you are impressive. If you were 40, if you were my age in your 40s and you said all that, I'd be impressed, let alone what you've done in a short amount of time. Like, that is impressive.
Thank you.
Going from the beef industry and more of that background to the dairy, has you was there a bit of education that took on your part to learn more about that?
When I was in college, I actually worked at the on-campus dairy cattle center. So that's where we do a lot of research in the dairy industry. So I not only milked cows and did chores, had some dairy experience there, but that's really where I found my love for Wisconsin dairy, because I didn't necessarily grow up in that industry, right? I'm used to the beef cattle and everything like that, but I truly fell in love with the dairy cow. And I actually had an internship last summer where I was very fortunate to live with a family in Washington County on the eastern side of the state on their dairy farm. So I sold beef at farmers markets, still got a little bit of that industry in my blood, but then I also milked cows with them every single morning. So I definitely do have some roots in the dairy industry, although I did not grow up in it. And truly, that has been one of my favorite parts about Alice too, is just learning.
Well, and I love that you've done your homework. Like, you've really, like, there's one thing, you could sit there and read about these things, but you've actually gone out there and gotten your hands in the dirt and actually gotten and done this. It's really cool.
Yeah, and that's kind of the 4-H member in me too. So the 4-H motto is to learn by doing. I was a 4-H member for over 10 years, and that's what I have really held very close to me during my time as Alice. I always love to learn. I always love to act like the student, ask questions, and really get out into the community, out on farms, and learn that way. So that's the best way that I'm able to communicate communicate with different audiences is by getting out there and experiencing it firsthand.
You know, you mentioned a couple of things here. Julia, and I'm glad you brought her up. We really enjoyed working with her, and a big shout out to her and everything she did with the Crown. What I will say, too, with talking with her, and you mentioned 4-H, we have 4-H come in and join us from time to time. A lot of our ag industry, I am a city boy, and I'm learning, I learned so much about this this world and that field more and more. And the more I learn, the more just fascinated I am by it and enjoy it more and more. I don't want to brag, but I also have milked a cow.
Ooh.
I have milked a cow before.
Okay.
Yes. I don't know if the cow liked it. I don't know if the cow enjoyed it. And I don't know. The cow has never reached back to me. I've tried to stay in contact with the cow. It has never gotten back to me. So
do you
I'm
know
not
what
sure
breed
how
it was?
No.
Okay.
No, good question, though. Like, yeah, I'm not sure what kind it was. But it is. I agree with you about actually doing the work. Mm-hmm. I would recommend to almost anybody to spend some time on a farm if you haven't before. It certainly gives you some empathy, some appreciation for that world. It is the backbone of our country, but it's also just interesting. I think it's just fun and kind of interesting to learn about and everything.
It is, and I really think back to the Wisconsin State Fair now that you brought that up. So we have this feature at the Wisconsin State Fair called Dairy Lane, and that's an exhibit that features all seven breeds of Wisconsin dairy cattle, because we do have seven here. That's why I asked you that question.
It was a good question.
Yeah, and we're actually dabbling into dairy goats as well. So Wisconsin ranks first in dairy goats and dairy goat milk production, so not just on the cow side, but also on the goat side as well, and we offered milking demos every hour on the hour, all 11 days of the state fair. So that was one of my favorite things that I did, all 11 days, having an opportunity to share that with fairgoers, talk more about Wisconsin's dairy industry, and giving them an opportunity too to step in there and learn how to milk a cow. So I did bring on some people from TMJ4 in Milwaukee, if you're familiar with that station.
Yes,
we brought her on and had her milk a cow on live TV, and that was, I have to say, that was probably one of my favorite memories from state fair this year.
I can't believe it would be. I got to do that. That's great. You set me up too perfectly. And Taylor, I'd never get to talk about this. When I was like 14 and I first moved to Rapids, I was trying to help my mom and dad out and trying to find little odd jobs to do. And I used to sweep hair. So I go to this little salon and the lady said, "Well, I don't have any clients. I don't have any hair to sweep, but I do have goats in the back. And if you want to clip their nails and milk them, I could use a hand with that."
Wow.
I told her that I know how to do that. And she knew right away that I didn't, but she was very nice to me and stuff. And so I went back there and two different goats, I clipped their hooves and milked them. And up until that moment, literally, that I'm getting down on my knee to milk this goat, I did not know you could milk goats. I had no idea.
Yeah.
It's crazy. That's how common it is. That's how much of it exists and everything. And it's pretty cool. That's a great idea to have at the fair. We talk about these things, and a lot of this stuff that I'm bringing up is in part because there's just something unique and special around every corner in this state. It's it's the part of the heartbeat of Wisconsin. And it's part of why we love these Something Special in Wisconsin so much, is it gives us a chance to really put a focus on some of these items that maybe you know of and maybe you don't. So where would you like to kind of like start with this, a fun recipe, or where would you like to go?
We can talk a little bit more about the program in general. So the Something Special from Wisconsin program is run through the state's Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, and it signifies that that company and product have at least 50% of Wisconsin ingredients, production, or processing. So it's a great way to easily identify that you are supporting Wisconsin farmers, small businesses, and agribusinesses as well. And you can find these in-store or online by looking for the red Something Special from Wisconsin logo. And we actually have a full list of all of our Something Special members at somethingspecialwi.com. I do have just a few products with me here today to highlight, and these are all perfect for your holiday mornings. I know that's something in my family that we always look forward to every single year, whether that's making coffee, making hot chocolate at our house. And one thing that I actually tried, now that you bring up recipes, I have with me the Soda Fountain Malted Milk Powder from CTL Foods. And this is most commonly known for turning ice cream shakes into malts, right? But you can also use it in baking. So I made a hot chocolate recipe using that malted milk powder, and it was delicious. It was one of the best things I think I've tried with all of these different ingredients inside of it. So that is certainly something to try this holiday season. We also have that maple syrup that you mentioned earlier. So that's from Maple Valley Cooperative, which incorporates a lot of different Wisconsin farmers, right? So I have some organic maple syrup with me, and they also have a whiskey barrel aged maple syrup as well. So those are just two two products that you can try some new baking ingredients with this holiday season.
So everybody, I would like to, I hope you're enjoying Taylor. She's going to do the rest of the show. I'm going to grab these and okay. I'm going to go into our break room. Okay. So just have fun. I've had their maples before, that Maple Valley. I've mm-hmm. had that before. I don't think I knew that, though. They incorporate different farmers from mm-hmm. different farms for that to make that?
Yeah, it's owned by farmers. It's a cooperative.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've read that. I mm-hmm. guess I didn't realize. I didn't take the extra step to mm-hmm. think about how they make it. Huh, mm-hmm. that's very cool. And yeah. it's so good. That makes sense that it's multiple. It's clicking now. Mm-hmm. That, huh? The malted milk powder, I'm glad you brought that up, too. Mm-hmm. Things like that. I like baking. I should say I like cooking. Mm-hmm. I'm learning to be better about baking. I don't know how to bake to save my life, but I'm trying to learn. Mm-hmm. One of the first things I'm learning is the creativity of baking mm-hmm. and how you can have a little fun with things like that. Mm-hmm. That's a great note about it. There's some other great products here, too.
Yeah, so this one I'll talk about in specific. So this is actually from Franciscan Peacemakers, which is a company out of Milwaukee, and they have employees who are actually women survivors of trauma. So they come into this center and they give them an opportunity to create things by hand. This is their hand soap, but they also have lotion, candles, and so much more to choose from. Everything is made by hand. All of these products are, again, handcrafted by these women survivors of trauma. So this is one of the other products that I have with me. And that's, again, something that you can smell in the morning to make your holiday morning complete.
That hits the heart. Mm-hmm. I'm not familiar. I have to look into that organization. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful, especially, mm-hmm. We have Sue coming in from the family center right after this. That mm-hmm. really plays right into it. That one thing that I think is very common throughout the Midwest, especially here in Wisconsin, we love supporting local. We like being able to do that. If it's something that's local, along with a cause that we care about, mm-hmm. it just makes these products taste and feel and work that much more for us. There's something added to it.
Absolutely. And all of our members have a very unique story. So I talked about a few things last week. There was a company that I was speaking about whose the owner, her husband, actually passed away when she was pregnant with their second child. And he was very, very passionate about financial education and young children. So she created this company called Small Legacies. And they have a wooden bank that is the give, save, spend model. So it basically has three different categories where children can drop their money into, learn how to, again, manage their money responsibly. And that was created because of her history. So every company, again, has a very unique story. And you can find links to all of their websites at Something Special. WI.com to learn more. Again, most of these will ship directly to your door as well if you're looking to learn more about these companies that all, again, have a very unique story.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really glad you told us about that one. Mm-hmm. I hadn't heard of them before. I'm definitely looking into that. Mm-hmm. And we have some other things to look through.
I do, yeah. So this is Olympia granola bars.
I was eyeballing those.
Yeah, so these are delicious. They're made with 100% USA honey, and they actually have a lot of different flavors too. So this is the almond chocolate. I've tried some of their caramel apple flavors as well, but of course, you can eat it just like a regular granola bar. You can take it with you to work, have it between meetings with your coffee, or you can also experiment again with some new recipes as well. So they were actually a vendor at the Wisconsin State Fair. That's when I first met the owners of the company, and they created these popsicles. And I'm still trying to figure out how I can make these at home because yes. it was a State Fair special, so they only had it for that week. But they basically incorporated the granola with some yogurt and also some fruit puree as well and froze it into a popsicle. So that's just one thing that you can do with those granola bars. Ooh. And then finally, I have some butter from Luann's Spreads. Mm. And there's a couple different varieties. I have the berry surprise, and then there's also a raspberry cranberry as well. Mm. And these are perfect for the picky eater in your life. Now, I know my brother and my dad are very, very picky, especially when it comes to the holiday season. They like to eat what they like to eat, right? But this is certainly something that everyone in your family will enjoy, no matter how picky they are.
I am. And if you're going to see, Taylor is already learning a little bit about me already, because immediately she looks right at me when she says, like, James, like, yeah, I'm guilty. I'm trying to get better about that. Mm-hmm. Trying to try more stuff and everything. I have to say that things like this make it a lot easier on people like me with the picky palate to expand a little bit. Seem like we're being adventurous. Mm-hmm. That's a really cool one to bring too.
Yeah.
There's so many products. Mm-hmm. We would never have enough time. We could spend 24 hours on this and mm-hmm. probably not hear it on everything that we do. So as you mentioned before, if I'm curious about finding more made in Wisconsin products, I can go on the website and find that?
Of course. You can visit somethingspecialwi.com to find a full list of all of our members. We actually have over 300 different participating companies here in the state of Wisconsin. So one thing that I really love to do when I'm out on the road, which I do a lot, I'm out on the road pretty much every single day, I like to follow the map that's on that website and find the businesses that are close to where I'm going to be. So if I have a free moment or a couple hours in my schedule where I'm not doing anything, I always like to drop by and say hello to our Something Special members. But again, all of them have a very, very unique story. Some of them have storefronts, some of them ships directly to your door. It really just depends on the company, but you can find all of that information on the Something Special from Wisconsin website.
Taylor, what's next for you after this, after you leave us here today? Where are you going about that, like leading up to the holidays and everything?
Well, I will be cutting down my ceremonial Christmas tree in the next couple of weeks, so I'm really looking forward to that. And we're really gearing up for the 76th Alice in Dairyland Finals. So this holiday campaign I'll be working on until pretty much December 23rd. So just visiting with TV and radio stations around the entire state of Wisconsin, talking about, again, our Something Special from Wisconsin program. But with that Christmas tree, I will be attending an event in Walworth with some kids, lighting up the Christmas tree, putting some ornaments on. And then again, looking forward to May 11th through the 13th, where we will be in Lake Geneva, where the 76th Alice in Dairyland will be selected. So those applications will open at the end of January, early February. And have you really heard about the application process? Has anyone talked with that?
I don't think we've really gone in depth on it. We've touched on it, but let's go ahead and in depth a little bit, because I got to start writing this stuff down now if I'm going to have a chance to run this running thing.
Well, when those applications open, that's when applicants can submit a resume and a cover letter. And from there, we'll bring in about 10 people for interviews, and a selection panel will narrow that down to 6 candidates. So those 6 candidates will go through about 5 months of training with the state's Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, learning all about what Alice does and doing it in a shorter period of time. So you're conducting TV interviews, radio interviews, writing articles, making social media posts, really, again, doing everything that Alice does. And then you, of course, have an opportunity to show off everything that you learned, everything you are capable of during the 3-day-long job interview process. So I mentioned that's in Walworth County next year, but that actually rotates every single year. The selection process will move counties so that the current Alice can highlight a new county's agriculture industry. Cool. So we're even looking further ahead, all the way to the 80th Alice in Dairyland, for where we would be hosting those events. But Walworth will be the 2023 host.
If a mayor or somebody in a city out there is listening to us and they would like to host one of these, or host an event, or just have you come to town or something, is that something that's an option?
Of course. So if you would like Alice to attend an event, you can request me on my website at aliceindairyland.com. Otherwise, you can follow along with my journey on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter. And if you are also interested in learning more about the selection process, or if you can become a host county, all of that information is on my website as well.
Taylor, you're good. That's right where I was going next. I did check out the blog a little bit. Have you been enjoying that?
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and I love to write, so that's one of the things that I really love to do in college. I know it's kind of a weird thing. Not a lot of people do like to write, but that's something that's always come naturally to me, so I really enjoy writing articles for state papers and local papers during the last couple of months. I can't even think back to how many articles I've written so far, but the blog is just one piece of that.
I've been writing since I was a kid, and I feel like you can tell people that enjoy writing, like you're a good writer, and I can tell that you take your time with it, that you enjoy, that you're trying to be as descriptive as you can be for the people reading. I appreciate that effort that you put in, and you can tell you enjoy it. That's great to hear.
Well, good. I'm glad.
Has there been some things, especially you mentioned coming from one part of the industry, kind of learning more about the other part. Have there been things that have been kind of surprising for you to learn about your state, or learn just about the job in itself?
Well, thinking back to that selection process, before I applied to be Alice in Dairyland, I did not know what ginseng was. So that is actually a top commodity that's produced here in Wisconsin, mostly grown in Marathon County, because Marathon is right where that 45th latitude hits, and that's where ginseng grows best. So I spent a lot of time as a top candidate learning about Wisconsin ginseng, and then of course over the last few months, I've been able to visit multiple farms, attend quite a few different events with the Wisconsin Ginseng Board, and that's one of the things that I've really enjoyed learning about. And one thing that always surprises people about ginseng, it cannot be grown twice on the same soil. So it does not matter how long ago it was planted. It does not matter how long ago it was harvested. It could be 10 years, 100 years. No matter what, if you try to plant it again on the same soil 2 times, it will not grow.
just wild, isn't it? And I didn't know that either until about a year or two ago. Family Natural Foods, we had some people come in from that are talking about ginseng. And we're talking about it, and I know what ginseng is and everything. And then they start talking about how big it is in the state and how we're one of the few states. And you just go down a rabbit hole on that, and it is so fascinating.
It is fascinating.
Really interesting.
And what really surprised me, too, is how far people will travel to purchase Wisconsin ginseng. Yeah. So I think this was like my third or fourth week as Alice. I had an opportunity to visit Sioux Ginseng, which is up in Wausau. And while I was there, I actually met some people who were traveling here from China. So they flew into Green Bay. They were pilots. Their plane was getting worked on in Green Bay. So they drove all the way from Green Bay to Wausau to purchase ginseng. So people will travel from all over the world to bring this home as a gift to their family, whether they want to cook with it, make it into tea, or take it in capsules as well. There's a lot of different ways to enjoy it.
You don't want to be the person with the follow-up gift to that. Like, how do you follow that?
I know. Like, with a something special from Wisconsin product.
See, this is how good she is. Nicely done. Do you want to go over anything one more time before we wrap up? Got about a minute left here to play around with.
Well, of course, if you want to learn more about the Something Special from Wisconsin program, again, that website is somethingspecialwi.com. There you can find more information about all of our 300 different vendors. You can also find some more information about how to become a member if you are interested, or if you'd like to just follow along with Alice in Dairyland, what she's up to during the year. Again, my website is aliceindairyland.com, and I am also on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter.
And again, encourage people to check out that blog. She does a really nice job at it. It's really well done. And as you were touching on earlier, and thank you again for kind of going through the process of trying to become Alice and everything with us. I thought that was really interesting. It's one of those things when you hear it, it makes sense. But I wouldn't have guessed that the training that goes on and that and everything, again, makes perfect sense. We've never had an Alice come in here and not know her stuff. I mean, you guys know your stuff, but it's just kind of cool to hear that. If there are people out there listening that know somebody or them themselves want to be maybe the next Alice, looking into that, another great place. Again, the website is great for that too.
Of course. And one piece of advice that I would recommend to anyone interested in applying, really truly think about your experiences and find your why. That's one thing that I've talked a lot with a bunch of different people across the state. Find your why you're passionate about agriculture, why it's important to your family, why it's important to the next generation in your family, more importantly, why you want to be an advocate for the industry. That's one thing that I thought a lot about while I was a top candidate, and that's something that I hope to convey during my year as well.
Well said. And much better than my application process, where I just write down I love chocolate milk, and nothing. I've gotten some laughter, but I don't think they take me seriously, Taylor.
I love chocolate milk too.
Thank you so much for being in here today. Wonderful to meet you. Safe travels and enjoy your time in the state, bopping around. The catch is you were too much fun and too good on the air. You're going to have to come back.
I will actually be making more rounds right before Christmas, talking about Wisconsin butter and how you can make the holidays even butter with Wisconsin butter. So have you seen that internet trend of the butter boards?
No, I haven't seen those.
So basically you take a cutting board or another surface, you spread butter all over it, and then you put a bunch of different toppings on it. So I've made quite a few different butter boards, but they can be sweet, they can be savory, they can incorporate a lot of different ingredients. And all you have to do is just take a piece of bread and scoop off of the tray to eat it. It's like a holiday dish, something that you can bring to a family gathering. So I will actually be traveling again 2 weeks before Christmas, talking about butter and making butter boards on air too. So if you're interested in that.
Oh, definitely.
I'll be in the area.
We got to bring it back. Definitely got to bring it back. That sounds great. Thank you for the time, Taylor. You take care.
Thanks for having me.
We'll take a break right here. We'll come back and have some more fun on Morning Magazine at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Game day, Green Bay and Minnesota. Place, the frozen tundra. Kick off your new year by scoring tickets to this longtime rivalry at Lambeau Field January 1st. It's our New Year's Day Green Bay giveaway from WFHR. Register for your chance to win two tickets at one of our Dropbox sponsors. Jennings in Wisconsin Rapids, Hoosels at the Lakes in Rome, La Taqueria in Wisconsin Rapids, and Piggly Wiggly in Nacoosa. One registration per person per location ends November 28th. One name then drawn at each Dropbox sponsor wins a $50 gift card and a chance to win the tickets. The game day winner will be randomly drawn and announced on November 30th. It's the New Year's Day Green Bay Giveaway. from locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Face it. Life looks a little different. During these times, we're doing our best to keep our minds and bodies strong. And getting a flu shot helps us stay healthy, so we don't miss out on what matters. Like having game night at home. Yeah, can't do that while sick with the flu. Now imagine family movie night that your daughter can't live without. Well, that's ruined. And don't forget your uncle's socially distanced cookout. See? That's why it's important to be at our strongest. Every year, millions of people in the U.S. get the flu. Especially now, no one has time to miss out on moments that matter. So get your flu shot. Find out more at getmyflushot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon with highs around 39. Southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight, lows around 18. Mainly sunny skies tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 44. High temperatures reach up to 44 Thursday under overcast skies. 40 Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 24.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine Part 2 for this November 20th, 2022, 11:33 on the clock, and you have your host, James, here, joined right now by Executive Director over at the Family Center, Sue Sipple. Good morning, Sue.
Hey, good morning.
How have you been?
Okay, busy.
Would you mind turning that just a little
bit?
I want to make sure they can hear that great voice of yours.
Yeah.
So, it is so good to see you, and I always appreciate having the time with you and everything, and that we can put on this subject. First, before we dive into any of that, how have you been? How are you holding up?
Good. It's busy week at the Family Center. Full. We're full to the brim. Even have a family in a hotel at this point. So, gearing up for Christmas over there. We are, I think they're pretty well adopted out and taken care of, but we have individuals in the community adopt families in shelter for the holidays, mm-hmm. and they're very eagerly putting together their lists and shopping so that we can make sure that they have a good holiday when they're with us. So
very good to hear.
Yeah.
Before we dive too deep into the weeds on this one, I always like to journalistically let people know I am on the board of the Family Center. And even without that, I would like to think that, you know, one of those people that's on the right side of history with this subject. But I always like to put that out there and make sure that people know and appreciate the time getting into this subject with you, Sue, especially because while we had some ideas of what to talk about today, we've had some recent news that has kind of shifted our focus.
Yeah. Well, I think most people are aware of the recent homicide-suicide in Marshfield. Very tragic. A mom of two teenage children was killed by her, I believe they were married, ex-partner, after she left, which we know from our conversations is when most homicides, domestic violence homicides, occur, either as the person's leaving or after they left. News reports tell us that there was some stalking going on prior to the homicide, and that is another indicator of a relationship that, could turn violent or lethal, not just violent, but lethal. So, you know, I don't, if I knew, I couldn't share, but I don't know other details. But, you know, certainly because there were children involved, it is really difficult when somebody leaves to totally cut themselves off from that abusive partner because, you know, the kids, generally there's some arrangements for at least shared physical placement of children. And so, you know, just leaving doesn't really stop things sometimes. So I, in thinking about today, I know that, you know, what I read on Facebook and here and et cetera, you know, people are eager to try to help somebody that they know is in a domestic violence situation. And so I thought maybe it would be a good idea to talk a little bit more about if you know somebody, what are some of the things you can do to help them? And we'll kind of focus on while they're still in the relationship, because it changes afterwards, obviously.
I think that's I think it's a really good subject matter. I would, before we go too far, you mentioned, as we're talking about this particular case, something that I think is not necessarily common knowledge when it comes to domestic violence, because so many people, their equivalent to this is whatever TV show or movie they've seen or Law & Order SVU or whatever. And nothing against any of those. They all have a good place.
I watch them too.
Same here. And I think they do a lot of good. But I also think that while I would like to think that everybody understands, hey, I'm watching a TV show, hey, I'm watching a movie, there's a... The more shows that try to be realistic, the more they do that, the more the line gets a little blurred of, well, what's weird, what, you know, what is an actual thing that happens? And so many people, when they think of somebody leaving a domestic, a violent situation, think of them doing that, and then that's where the violence happens, and that because they try to leave, and so the person, you know, stops them or what have you. I do not think that it's common knowledge. The overwhelming number of homicides that happen are after a person leaves the home. It's after the quote unquote hard part for some people that they look at in the movie and the TV show. Oh, they that was the moment they picked
broke
up
their, free.
They, yes, they broke free and everything's going to be better now. And that and that ain't the case. And it's important that we take a moment in life to stop and see, you know, hey, what really happens here? Not taking anything away from TV, movies, all that stuff. They bring awareness to a lot of subjects that, you know, you and I and many people work very hard to. They're able to reach a lot of people through these things. So I don't want to take away from the good they do there. But it is important for us to do a little more digging on these subjects at times and think, well, wait a minute, is that really how that happens? Where is the real... Because the heavy lifting, that's the first step. The heavy lifting oftentimes, and unfortunately a lot of the violence happens after that is done.
Right. And in many ways, it's because the abuser realizes that they are losing their control. Right? And so they need to ramp it up, right? And they get to a point that if I can't have you, nobody will. Or, you know, they are so, the victim is so much kind of the central figure in their life that mm-hmm. they have to have, that, you know, as one maybe can surmise in this case, you know, they basically killed them and then killed themselves.
Yep.
You know, so it is tragic, and I certainly feel for those kids.
And as a society, we sit back, we see these things, we read these articles, these stories and stuff, and we, so many of us, like, are heartbroken, are pulls at our empathy, and after you get through a lot of these emotions and anger and a lot of this stuff, it comes down to, okay, how do we stop that from happening again? Or how can I change that mm-hmm. from happening? How can I impact that? How can I help that family? There's so many follow-up questions to that, Sue. And that's kind of mm-hmm. where we're going to put a little of our focus mm-hmm. today.
And I brought a little article with me. There's a website called domesticshelters.org that puts out a weekly newsletter, and they have some really good articles. Don't agree with all of them, but mm-hmm. most of them, about a whole variety of topics related to domestic violence. And so they have this article called 8 Ways to Help Victims of Domestic Violence. And so brought it with me to maybe talk from. And
it's
so,
a good outline.
Ironically, you know, us just talking about leaving, their number one item on their list is resist the urge to say leave.
Huh.
So, you know, it is tied to this. Leaving is a very dangerous time. And so it may not be the safest thing for them to do in that moment without some safety planning in anticipation of it and some real plans on how to leave. But also, we know in working with the hundreds of victims we've worked with over the years that it really has to be on that victim's timeline.
Yeah.
You know, if a family member gets frustrated or a friend is frustrated and enough is enough, I don't understand why they're going to leave and kind of don't leave and put out some sort of ultimatum, or, you know, a well-meaning friend or church member scoops them up and brings them to the family center. You know, I've often said they come in the front door and go out the back. If yeah. it's not on their yeah. timeline, they have to be ready to make this change in their life. So, you know, feed into their timeline.
Yeah, right? I think we're very well set. Very well set.
Okay, so the second thing on this list is believe them. You know, ironically, oftentimes victims aren't believed. And that comes from, we know that in a domestic violence relationship, the focus for the violence and the control is on their partner,
mm-hmm.
And not they're not just generally mean people to other people. In fact, one of the maybe warning signs is somebody that's overly charming, right? And so out there in the world, people see this abuser as, geez, charming, really a nice person, great to be around, mm-hmm. a lot of fun. And it's when they get home that they, because of their belief and desire to have power and control over their partner, they become abusive. And so when the victim says something, it's discounted or, gosh, I don't know. I know Joe pretty well.
Right.
You know, I can't imagine
he'd do
that. It's
the first thing that comes up. He never treated me that way.
Yeah.
So why would he treat anybody else in the world that way?
And, you know, we even hear that post-homicides now. Again, not in this case in Marshfield because the brother spoke out. But we hear this sometimes in homicides where even family members say, I had no idea this was going on, right? And sometimes, you know, they feel guilty for not knowing and not seeing the signs. But it is because, you know, it's basically that behind closed doors, a well-kept secret. Person generally a nice person out in the community. So believe them is number two.
That, and we're going to go to break in a second here, Sue, but that is one I have to admit gets really under my skin.
Mm-hmm.
I was growing up the way I was and everything. My mom, it was very important, understanding women's rights and so many of these things. And the first time I can remember her getting mad at another woman was about a lady in our neighborhood who was crying wolf, essentially. Long story short, and the fact of how. You know, my mom, the first thing she said to me and my sister at the time, both of us were very young at the time, and like, this is, every false story makes it so much harder on everybody who is, it's not the person who's told their story already, the person who wants to tell their story and is afraid to, or something's holding them back. And I'm not going to make any friends here with this next statement, and I'm not going to say that it's PR PC. I'm just saying this is myself. This is just James talking here. In today's day and age, in 2022 and going forward, I am more inclined to believe somebody and find out every bit of detail and fact afterwards and in the conversation than I am going into the conversation not believing them. I'm not saying you have to; it has to be one or the other. Hopefully, you can go into these conversations with an open heart, and open mind. But for me, in this day and age, I am much more inclined to believe the person, and I'll get the facts right then and there, and make my thoughts and decisions afterwards. And I don't mean to have this sound mean or I'm not trying to ostracize anybody or push anybody away or anything like that. But your opinion kind of doesn't matter. I don't mean that in a mean way or anything like that, because we're all told that, hey, our opinions count and our opinions matter and about this, and this about society. If somebody is speaking their truth, if somebody is explaining what they've just been through, the last thing that matters is your opinion about if they're telling the truth or not. You can just listen. You can just be there, and being an ally by just listening means so very much. This applies to anybody under this umbrella, but I especially think of kids. Being a kid who was abused, and I wasn't abused by a partner, a dating partner, or anything. I was abused by somebody who was babysitting me, and it was so difficult for me to talk about this and to tell people about it. And I'm very lucky I had the mom and dad I did. I can't imagine what it would have been like if I didn't have them. But as I grew older and talking and seeing other people who went through some trauma or something like that, even with them it was hard for me to say anything because I was afraid that they still wouldn't
judge.
How they judge me and if they'd believe me or not or anything. We're creating more and more an empathetic society that is getting better about this, but we can all do better work when it comes to this subject. And look, if somebody is crying wolf, the truth comes out. It will. But it is overwhelming. Anybody, you're a search engine away from looking this up yourselves. It is by far and away like 90-plus percentile of people who come across, and they're coming across because they're tired of hurting, or they don't want there to be other victims. Very seldom, name the examples in human history of somebody coming out in this subject because they wanted a book deal, because they thought that they were going to make a bunch of money off of the person. The Deshaun Watson case is a great example of this. Those young ladies, what they've gone through and what they're doing right now with their braveness and their story, how many of them have you seen on the talk show circuit? How many of them have gotten a book deal? How many of them have, I mean, it doesn't happen. It's so easy for people to immediately go to that, like, oh, they're doing this for this reason. Where, what's the examples you have of that in society?
Right.
Of people actually doing that?
Like, well, we're good at wanting to blame the victim and figure out they somehow brought this on or have ulterior motives. You know, statistics tell us there is false reporting of all crimes, but there is... it is the same percentage in domestic violence and sexual assault as robbery and, you know, other crimes. There isn't this huge surge of false reporting. And as you say, there's very, very little benefit.
Yeah. What's the, I mean, yeah, especially when it comes to these, I'm not talking about just the high profile cases, just any case in general, a local case. They're especially, what is the advantage to that? You get to come out and tell people this intimate, that one of maybe the most intimate and, tense thing that's ever happened to you. You share that with strangers? Like, come on. I mean, there's no incentive to that.
Most time you just want it to end or go away or wished it didn't happen. You know, even victims themselves try to figure out what they did wrong, you know, and to feed that, you know, is really doing them a disservice.
What happened to me happened when I was 7. I'm 45, and I'm still, you know, trying to figure out if there was something I could have done or whatever and everything. I'm much better now. I've healed a lot, but there's still little pieces of me that are like that. And again, my situation wasn't even a romantic situation or anything. So it only compounds it even more, the thinking we do, the questions we ask ourselves and everything. Just a quick minute break we're going to take right here. We'll come back and get into some more of ways that people can help and identify some of these things. Speaking with Executive Director of the Family Center, Sue Sipple, here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation with I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
WFHR Weather is sponsored by Hartle Monuments, still at 1915 Baker Drive, Wisconsin Rapids. The monument you create will be remembered by family and friends for years to come. Hartle Monuments will make it special. Let our experience show. Hartle Monuments, since 1901.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon with a high of 39. Winds out of the southwest 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows around 18. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Mainly sunny skies. Tomorrow, highs level off around 44. Highs level off around 44. Thursday, under cloudy skies. 40 Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 26.
Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Welcome back, everybody, to Morning Magazine here at WFHR, where we're speaking with Sue Sipple, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center. We've been touching on the recent case that happened in the Marshfield area and kind of piggybacking off of that, if you will, to talk about ways that people can help others and what they can do in these situations, Sue. And let's just go right
Keep
back
rolling.
Into where we were.
Another way people can help is by understanding the resources that are available for victims. And we've talked about that many, many times on this show and are eternally grateful to the radio station and you, James, for, you know, getting the word about out about the resources that are available at the Family Center. So, you know, everybody, absolutely everybody should understand at least the basic resources that are available and how to contact us. And make that referral.
And just so in case there are some people out there listening that aren't familiar, Sue, how can they do that?
Okay. Our crisis line is 715-421-1511. We also have a website. It's FamilyCTR, that's CharlieTomRichard.org. We have a Facebook page if you want some ongoing information. You can certainly find us on Facebook. Just educate yourself.
Yes.
You don't have to know, you don't have to become the advocate, just know that we exist and, you know, that there are services available.
Sometimes being an ally is just simply doing some reading and having some information. Now, like good insurance or something like that, hopefully you never have to use it. Hopefully you never have to relay this information to a friend or a relative or somebody. And certainly, hopefully you yourself never have to. But it's awfully good to have it. It's awfully good to have in your back pocket if you need it or anything. So understanding the basics, as Sue was just touching on there, or wherever you live, wherever county you're in or anything like that, wherever you're listening to us, it can't hurt. There's no bad side effect. It's not like you learn that and you're going to forget algebra. You didn't know algebra that well anyway. Be honest with yourself. You didn't really get real.
The last piece is, you know, do what you can logistically to help. You know, whether it's if somebody comes into shelter, we can't take pets in the shelter. So, you know, can you offer to watch Fluffy while they're in the shelter? Do they need transportation somewhere? Can you offer to give them a ride? I think everybody, if everybody would just sit back for a few minutes and think about what they do in life and what they have to offer, you know, use that to benefit victims. Whether you're a landlord, be a little flexible in taking one of the tenants that we refer that may not have the best rental history because of the domestic violence, right? If you are an employer, be understanding and flexible of, you know, court appearances that the victim might have, or, you know, safety for them. Is there somebody that can walk them to their car at night, at least in the beginning? You know, what can you in your role in life do to help with some of those nuts and bolts logistics? Maybe it's for someone who's thinking about leaving, agreeing to let them leave a luggage or, you know, items at your house, because then after they leave, they have access to important documents or, you know, important things to them safely stashed at your house. So, I think everybody can do something. You just have to figure out, you know, how much you're willing to do. If you want to do a lot, we're always looking for volunteers, you know, another way to help out.
So. I'm really glad you brought this up, Sue. You know, as I mentioned before, this is a topic that's been a cause of mine since I was a kid. I'm on the board at the Family Center. I've thought a lot about this. I've actually experienced this where a friend of mine, she did something and she had two dogs, and I ended up watching those dogs for her for about a month, maybe not even. So I've actually been in this situation, and I still hadn't really done that before. I think that's so insightful. That's very helpful. And that's something that literally everybody can do. Just taking a beat back and kind of thinking about those fringe, those gray area things. There's so much that you guys do at the Family Center. It's nice to be able to like help out wherever we can and cover the bases, if you will.
Well, and you know, when it comes to pets, that's one of the reasons victims stay is, you know, they realize they can't bring their pet with them to shelter. If it's a service animal, of course, it's a different story, but they can't bring their pet. And, you know, they're concerned that the abuser is going to harm the pet. That goes hand in hand with domestic violence. They don't want to put the animal in the Humane Society, you know, and so, you know, they stay. So
oftentimes we ask people to put themselves in somebody else's shoes for empathetic reasons. And I think that that's a positive and one of the best things we have as human beings, empathy in that. It's one of our superpowers. The other side of this, too, though, and I don't know if I'm recommending this necessarily as much as I am just trying to kind of make note of it. I do this as an actor all the time. Sometimes I have to play bad guys, and I got to put myself in that mindset and know, what are they thinking? How can I literally be in their shoes? And it's uncomfortable, and I don't like it, but it's the job. I'm asking a little of that. I think that you can relate to and be empathetic to victims of this so much more if you think about where these cowards are coming from, the control aspect of these things and stuff, and so much of that. I'm not saying necessarily I want people to put themselves in these abusers' shoes, but if you understand it, and not in an empathetic way by any means, but more so in, well, what is matters to them, then you can understand maybe a little bit more of how you can help the person who is the victim in this situation. As you were just touching on there as a perfect example. Well, that family doesn't have any kids. They just got a couple pets. So that can't be something that's a control. But animals, if not just as much, can be even more sometimes a dependent than a child can be. Because if a child is a teenager and up and taking care of themselves and all that, that's one thing. The dog can't let itself out. The dog can't feed itself. The dog can't let, or a cat or any of these animals. So they can sometimes be even more of a, oh, I know I've got them because I have the animals. So as a friend to that person who could be a potential victim or is a victim, if you offer to take those animals, you have no idea what you might be able to, you know, how much help you might be being in that situation.
Absolutely.
I don't think I would have thought of that if I hadn't put myself in that the other person's shoes for a second. And I'm not in an empathetic way to make them a sympathetic character by any means, but more so to understand the whole situation that's what's going on.
Well, I think those of us that are fortunate enough never to have been in an abusive relationship, you know, what we know as a relationship, a healthy relationship, we take the rules of that and apply it to this relationship. And so things don't make sense. Why don't they just talk things through?
Right, yeah.
You know, so I think a good point that you make, James, is, you know, to really see the whole picture and understand the dynamics of that relationship from both sides, the victim side and the abuser side, to really... to be empathetic and understand what's going on.
Yeah, it's
helpful.
It's what you want to help this person who's been through this. You want to help them. This is one of the ways I think that you can go about that. Mm-hmm. So we never have enough time.
We never do.
And we want people to be able to learn more about this subject and just dive into it more. Also, want to remind people that the Family Center is hiring. They're looking for shelter coordinator, children and youth services coordinator, Hmong advocate, part time shelter advocate, part time visitation assistant, all of these very rewarding and very good positions. If people want to find out more about the things we've talked about or these positions that are available, Sue, what can we recommend? What is the best way to do that?
They can certainly call. And the business line is 715-421-1559. The positions, open positions, are posted on the website, the job description or a summary of the job description, as well as the application and, you know, how to go about applying, are all on that website, www.familyctr.org.
Yeah, and as always, volunteers or simple needs around the Family Center, if you can drop those off, we greatly appreciate those donations, those investments. Those are investments in your community. The Family Center doing some of the hardest, most vital work in our community. You help them do that by